Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, this car good, ISO?
Yo, it's good, man.
Yo, I've been getting some bad cars lately, man.
Not for me.
Yo, I need my money.
Yo, you good, Doc. You good. Check it out.
All right, hold on. All right, we good. You're now in the office of Dr. Big Al and my patient,
ISO, on Nick's Therapy.
At 7sitemedia.com.
Yo, what up, ISO?
What up, Doc? What up, man? How you feeling?
A little under the weather, man, but I'm here, ready to rock.
Okay.
Maybe you got a remedy for me tonight, man.
I don't know. Maybe I got some hot steam I need to let off. Pause.
I know.
But I got, you know what I'm saying, got certain things kind of got under the collar.
Yeah, I feel the same way, man. But yeah, we got a lot to talk about, man. As always, somehow, some way, there's some big news something to talk about. But
definitely.
Call us out there, 563-999-3716.
Press 1 to enter the queue. Press 1 to enter the queue. So you know, convo and express our feelings.
Yeah, we want to hear your opinion on everything. All the topics we got going on tonight. Tonight's episode is titled Expendables, mainly because of how the Nick roster has been put together over the past few months.
Mm-hmm.
A few players that got, you know, have been, what you call it, jettisoned from other teams and forgotten about. Nick's management has put them together on one team, and we'll talk a little bit about them tonight. Other things. I think we're going to get into this real quick because I feel your pressure boiling, man. Maybe about 2 weeks ago, there was some news about a Knicks fan auctioning off his fandom to the highest bidder.
Right.
And his name is Evan Perlmutter, and, you know, I ended up reaching out to him, you know, seeing if I could give him some therapy. I'll read y'all his response. He said, "Al, the pain is too much. They have turned my love to hate, decades long of incompetence. I can no longer bear to bleed blue and orange. It's just too much annually. Do you have links to prior shows? Would love to hear speak soon, Evan." Yada yada. But this past week, he ended up auctioning his fandom off for $3,500, and he's now a Laker fan. And ISO ended up calling me about it, letting off some steam, and I told him he'll save it for Thursday. So I'm gonna let ISO talk about what's going on. How he feel about this situation.
All right, first things first, Doc. Let's get this off the rip. You can't call yourself a Knicks lifer and leave. That's an oxymoron.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? The thing about being a fan is it's just not about the highs. It's about being for your team for the lows. And then you reach the highs. Perfect example. What do you think? How would it look like if I'm going to another sport real quick? How would it look like if I had jumped the ship? If somebody had jumped ship, I was like, you know what? I'm not a Red Sox fan no more. I can't take this. The curse, the losing, all that. Then you'll never get to experience the euphoria of when they won. It won't be the same for you. And that's the thing. So, you know, you you're not a a fan is something is short for fanatic. So there's some sort of loyalty there. You know what I'm saying? Like the way the game has evolved is that you can like other teams. Nobody's saying you can't like other teams. You can like other teams if you want to like another team. But at the end of the day, it's like your heart, where your heart is where your heart is. So if you got to say, oh, you know what, I like the Rockets, or I like this team, but my team is the Knicks. They come first and foremost. You may have some subsidiaries, but the main company is your team. I don't want to hear that you're a Lakers fan now. You're not a Lakers fan. You're just a Lakers bandwagoner. That's what
exactly.
You are. That's what you
exactly.
are.
My sentiments is good riddance, Evan.
Like, yo, they should put his face on blast, because when
yeah.
the Knicks get popping, I don't want to see you there. You don't deserve to enjoy the love, because you know, let me tell you something. I'm pretty sure you were there cheering up in your seats when we was winning 50 games with Carmelo.
Yep.
I'm pretty sure you was loving it. That's what it's about. If you didn't endure the seasons that we had 7 to 8 years prior to Carmelo coming in and giving us that one joyous season, you don't know the euphoria you felt for that season, because you weren't there, and you couldn't understand the feeling that we had during the David Lee era, and we were losing countless games and not even beating it, and it was just so futile. So that when you're going through a season and being, I mean, yo, during the first time during that history, we started 10-0. I mean, I've watched Patrick Ewing go from the bottom to the finals.
That's
you
where the joy comes from, man.
Exactly. You can't enjoy being a Knicks fan if you ain't enjoy the pain. What do you think those people who are Cavaliers fans, how do you think they felt? You can't be there and be like, oh, that's why you do it. You do it so that one day when you see that, it's going to happen. Like, I was fortunate enough to see the Giants win, go back from being cellar dwellers to go back to winning.
Yep.
You can't experience the joy without experiencing the pain.
Yeah, like you said, man, he wasn't a real fan of the New York Knicks.
Of course not.
And there's no better feeling than from coming to the bottom and then saying, finally, it's our turn. We here. You know what
exactly.
I mean?
Exactly.
Good riddance to Evan, man. Good riddance to Evan. Yeah, man. Next up, ISO. Frank declined to play for France in the FIBA qualifiers, which is, you know, what they play for to qualify for the Olympics. To me, it says a lot about him and his focus right now. Usually we see these, you know, Europeans and foreign players, you know, pay the most homage and allegiance to their countries and put that above anything. And
right.
To say he wants to focus on the second season as a Knick, I thought that was big of him. I don't know, you know, if he had any outside influences, but whatever it was, he still no to his country.
My thing about that is it's just a recognition of the moment. He understands that this is a big year.
Yep.
This is a big year as far as what he tries to do with his career, the direction that they have. And then most importantly, I think it's also an indication of the stronghold that Fizdale has on his players. I think he has that gravitational pull that dudes have an understanding of what they want to do this year. So they don't want to really risk knowing that this is the year that basically shapes the future. This shapes the future, you know, of what we can accomplish as far as acquiring talent for the next year. So, you know, dudes want to do everything they can to be part of along for that ride.
Yeah, like you said, I think everybody's all in, and he knows the importance of this year, not only for himself, but for the team's future. You know, Team France is going to be there, you know, but you won't get back this season. Another part of it, I think, is you don't want to risk injury, especially with the getting closer and closer to the beginning of the season, you know, along with our biggest part in KP being out to start the season. We don't need any setbacks, and I think he's looking forward to the challenge of competing for that starting spot.
I do too. I mean, like I said, it's an open competition. So when you have open competition like that, you got to know that anything can happen, and people get a chance to get any kind of advantage on you while you're away. You know what I'm saying? While you're away, Fizdale's teaching, and you know, it's too big a moment right now for him to want to miss. So I think that it behooves him that he stays there, man, and do what he does.
Right. I think along with, you know, training camp will open within the next few weeks. Like you said, you can't miss valuable moments. They'll probably be in the gym before official training camp begins. So, like you said, this is important times that he can't miss.
Yeah.
Kind of like school, being absent for the first couple weeks of school. You know what I mean? You don't want to be behind. You know, so
you gotta stay focused.
Yeah, important moment coming up for that came about the other day. With KP's injury, we know he's been overseas all summer and rehabbing and everything. And even though he won't be able to start the season, do you think he'll be there at the start of training camp with everybody else?
I believe he'll be there. I definitely believe he'll be there in spirit. You know what I'm saying? Looking.
What about physically?
I mean, physically too. I think physically too. You know, he'll be there for training camp. You know, working with people, trying to give them as far as what they need to become better, giving the advice. So I firmly believe that. So
yeah,
that's part of being a leader.
Yeah, that part of it, being a leader, and also the camaraderie.
Yeah,
and also, because the same thing you said about Frank being there, you don't want to be behind with, you know, a new coach, a new system. You know, even if he can walk plays, you know what I mean? I think that would benefit the team to a certain degree. And then, you know, being there, willing to teach, or, you know, just be around the guys, I think is important. So, I mean, when you think about it, I think he has to be there. You know, this ain't summer vacation. I think he has to be put up to training camp, even though he's been rehabbing overseas.
Right. Definitely. I mean, it's all part of the process. It's all part of the process. When you're going with a season that's as important as this one, You have to take all the necessary steps to help that person achieve greatness. The same way Carmelo helped Porzingis must help Kevin Knox. Mm-hmm. And that goes a long way when you have your franchise player present. You know, this isn't Boston, where dudes have a self-running machine. But I do believe that Fizdale can have that same type of impact that Brad Stevens had.
Yeah, his motivation skills seem like they're almost second to none. You know what I mean? The way he talks to, you know, you talk about his players and
right.
talk to reporters about the team, like, I admire that from him. And you haven't seen that in a while. I think maybe you talked about this before, maybe since Mike Woodson.
This is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
This is exactly what I'm saying. So you have to have that as part of leadership. And while Porzingis is away, you know what I'm saying, the franchise player is Mike Brown right now. I mean, excuse me, not Mike Brown. Fizdale.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I think he has to be there, man. It'll be an easier transition when he gets back, just to, you know, whenever he's ready to.
He's going
to
be there. There's no way to start the season he's not going to be there. He's going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Because staff wants to see where they're at, where they're at with him. So he's definitely going to be there.
Yo, Iso, man. What's up with Clyde, man?
Yo, I don't know, B.
Yo,
like
I don't know.
It works and it's real because what's the name's agent said, "Damn, Clyde, you know?"
KD's agent?
Yeah. KD's agent. So I'm like, don't you know that we're trying to get this dude?
Right. For the listeners out there, we're talking about Clyde's statement that with KD moving to Golden State and winning a championship there, it puts an asterisk on his name. Compared to if he had stayed in OKC and won. You know, and I think a lot of fans feel the same way, but you don't got to say it out loud, Clyde. You know what I mean?
For I don't know, man. Like,
probably the biggest fish in the ocean as far as free agents.
This is what I'm saying.
Season.
Don't, and it's like, I wouldn't want you to, like, that's the type of stuff to get you Bruce Bowen, B.
Word. You know what I mean? But to a certain degree, like,
I mean, it could work as a recruiting tool.
Exactly.
It could work as a recruiting tool as well. Like, yo, you know what?
Okay.
It could work as a recruiting tool. Like, I'm keeping this sentiment alive in your head so that
mm-hmm.
after you win this year, you know you got to leave.
Right.
You know?
Well, he take on Clyde's challenge and come and win New York. But and then another thing on it too. Usually we would see KD reply to things like this, and I haven't heard a reply from him.
His agent replied, but you know what? Tell you what, it's hard. He's the super OG. He's the super OG. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
you don't really want to.
He understands, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's not the same. It's not the same. It's like, yo, this dude played before Mike, before Magic, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, yo, this dude's in the 70s. So he understands, you know what I'm saying? It's also an understanding as far as what the game was, you know? What the game was back then. So, you know, Durant's a historian of the game. So he knows, like, you know, the OGs are always going to think this way because they didn't have freedom of mobility.
Yeah, this will be something to watch, too, man. There's so much story in the NBA and also with the Knicks, you know. like we say, must-see TV. Then Golden State comes to the Garden early in the season. So
yeah, he might try to bless us with a 40-piece.
Yeah, this story won't go away quick. It's something to watch out for.
I just want to, that's what you want to look out for. I want to look and see how Kevin Knox responds playing his idol.
That's another story in between the lines.
Yeah, that's a big one right there. See how he responds playing his idol is a big one.
The rookie versus the finals MVP early. Yep.
Thing about it, it's like he's like probably the same size as Kevin Durant is right now.
You mean weight wise?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think KD got some inches on him lengthwise, but
yeah,
body
wise, it's like Kevin Knox is no pushover. So
yeah, something to watch, man. That'll be a nice matchup.
I'm just like, damn, son. Can you just like? This is the first time since the Scott Perry, Fizdale, and Steve Mills era that the Knicks are not on the same accord.
Mm-hmm.
Like Frazier, man, you got to know what the plan is. Unless the plan is to recruit that way. You know what I'm saying? Like, it could just be that the plan is to recruit that way.
Something else, I think, you know, being in New York and what's happened, I think it was yesterday with the Teddy Bridgewater getting traded. I kind of compare that to what we got going on with the three-point guard.
Not only the three-point guards, but you're talking about the veterans. Noah's gone. Noah's going to be stretched.
Yes.
Right? That we know. Noah's going to be stretched. The thing is, as far as what's going to happen with the rest with Lee. With
That's
Lee
a big
and Hardaway.
One. You know, I know we want Hardaway, but I don't think they're interested in changing Hardaway. Even though I think as far as we know from the outside looking in that Hardaway is the more desirable one that we want gone.
I would definitely keep Lee over Hardaway.
Yeah, man. He's been solid, you know. I mean he hasn't, you know, I won't say he overachieved, but he's been solid since he's been here, man.
The writing's on the wall. The writing's on the wall already. His name ain't even on the pamphlet.
Right.
And that's what happened with Melo.
He knows the deal. He knows the deal.
You know, that's what happened with Melo last the year before. Like, once you don't see your name on the pamphlet, baby, that's how you know.
Yeah, I wish upper management could see that. You know, Hardaway Jr. is the one that needs to be.
Exactly, because out the two, I gotta see like this dude plays no D, man.
Word, you know that. I could see, you know, Lee being what Jared Jack was. You know, now I'm not saying minutes wise, but what Jared Jack was to our point guard last year. You know what I mean?
Right.
At a certain point, you know, we do get rid of him, but as far as a locker room guy and a dude who had been there.
Right.
I think you can use him in that way, man. I more see Tim Hardaway Jr. being a bad influence to some of the guys. Like you know, Knox or even Trey Burke, you know, who he played college ball with, man. I don't know. I don't want Tim Hardaway Jr. around. Sorry to say, man. Hopefully he could change my mind if he's there from the start.
It's just bad signs, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
man.
You got Dwayne Wade's son hitting a jump on you in pro am to win the game. It's not a good look, B.
My thing is like him. He didn't change since you know when we got rid of him the first time. He came back and to me all he did is get more minutes. You know what I mean? He's still a shooter. He still. You know, gets to the bucket here and there, but changed about his game. I don't know.
Still
man,
got
out
no
of
handle.
All, yeah. All, out of all the moves, you know, Perry and Mills have made, I can see that's probably the only bad one that comes to mind. You know?
They were desperate.
But, yeah. But, you know, on the same note, like, you know, the title of the show, Expendables, he brought in some, we could call them mercenaries, too, who want to redeem themselves. And that
right.
started kind of with Trey Burke last year. Then after that, Emmanuel Mudiay. And then with this summer, Noah Vonleh. And Mario Hezonja. I think you can add some other guys to the mix, like Alonzo Trier, who didn't get drafted, Mitchell Robinson, who was supposed to go first round, maybe even lottery.
Now, he ain't no expendable, B. He ain't no expendable. That dude's the future.
No, what I'm saying is forgotten about. You know what I mean? In that category, a dude that kind of was looking, you know what I mean? So, start off with Mario Hezonja, man. You know, what you see from him this year? What do you want? What do you expect from him this upcoming season? You see him starting, see him coming off the bench, minutes, average.
Really, it depends, B. It depends. He could very well start. He can very well start. And
well, most likely at what the four or the three.
But that's the thing though. With his height and athleticism, he's versatile at three positions: the two, three,
yeah.
and four.
Uh-huh.
Two, three, and four. He can put the ball on the ground. He can shoot. He can do multiple things. And he can defend. So all the stuff that he wasn't getting credit for, we'll bring it out. We already gave him a nickname, Super Mario.
Yeah, I think the key to him is minutes. You know, I think he showed that last year when he got the minutes.
Not only minutes, though. It's just not a minutes thing because first of all, one is they didn't have consistency of coaching, right?
Mm-hmm.
So like whenever you have coaches that are coaching for their job, the development stage isn't there. That's how you saw Frank suffer. It's the same reason how Frank suffered is how Mario suffered. It's just that they have more ability. But because they have that tightrope effect where it's like, yo, I could get pulled at any minute, you're not allowed to play through mistakes. And when you're not allowed to play through mistakes, you're not allowed to be creative or to have that confidence in yourself that, hey, if I miss this shot.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying with the minutes. If he gets the minutes knowing that, you know, he ain't going to get pulled, you know, just like that, or coming off the bench, he has a short leash. I think he'll perform. You know,
but not
he got
only
big
that,
minutes.
I think also
last season he he did his thing.
Yeah, when he got minutes, but also too, one, like I said, this is a totally different NBA. That's one thing that you have to recognize. This isn't, see, Golden State is fortunate, is because at the time of their takeoff, they were already nurtured. OKC, when they had Harden and all of them right there, when they were doing their thing and they was upstart, they were just great players.
Mm-hmm.
But they weren't getting taught as much as they should. That's the thing about it. And in today's NBA, you have to also be a developer. You have to develop the talent. You know what I'm saying? Sort of like college, because these guys are coming in one and done, and they're not learning their whole fundamentals of their game. So they're coming into the NBA still learning, not mastering nothing.
Yeah, I think he'll get that from Fizdale. But
yeah.
My thing is, I mean, we've seen it with other players too. Like, there's some players in this league that they come in and they don't need to warm up. They don't need repetition. They don't need consistent minutes. You know they're going to get buckets or do what they do off of natural talent, you know, right away, whether they get 4 minutes or they get 20 minutes. And I think a dude like him, he needs some consistent minutes, knowing that he's going to be in the rotation or he's going to get a certain amount of minutes, you know, whether it be to get his shot, you know, going, or just be in rhythm in the game, whether it be playing defense or anything else.
Right.
I'm looking, I don't know, man. I think it's to be seen as far as him starting, because I think we know, I won't say no, but I think it's almost a given that Knox will be the starting small forward. So that leaves the power forward spot and, like you said, the two guard spot as options for Hezonja. So the other, you know, next up on the list we got Noah Vonleh, who I think could also battle for the power forward spot, the starting power forward spot. Depending on which way.
I don't think Noah Vonleh is battling for the power forward spot. I think that he's probably gonna be spending more time at the center spot.
Behind Kanter?
Yeah. Behind coming off the bench. And that's the thing, it's just like, you know, you have Mitchell Robinson, he's gonna earn his minutes. He has to earn his minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't, you know what I'm saying? Everything to me is up in the air. We don't know how Noah Vonleh is gonna come in, but Noah Vonleh is there to push the envelope.
Right.
He's there to push the envelope. And if he cracks the rotation, it's most likely coming off the bench. I have, how I see it, I have Enes Kanter as my starting center.
Me too.
You know, I have Enes Kanter as my starting center. I would like Mario at the four, Knox at the three. I'd really rather have Frank start at the two.
Mm-hmm.
Over Tim Hardaway, and then give me Trey Burke at the one. But I don't know what Moutier's bringing to the table right now.
We're gonna get to Moutier too. And to me, that's my dark horse to a certain degree. But, you know, talk a little about Vonleh, and I was looking at his numbers and his rebounding numbers, especially when he gets minutes. And he seems like he gobbles up boards himself. You know, I think the only one, I mean, Kyle Quinn to a certain degree, but Cancer was our only solid rebounder, especially on the offensive end, as far as offensive rebound. And that was a place we were kind of lacking last season, even past season, you know. I think he has something to bring to the table, especially with O'Quinn gone. It's going to be a battle because, like you said, Mitchell Robinson will be in the mix too, or should be in the mix. So, I mean, depth is not something that hurts your team, but there's questions to be answered when the start of the season comes.
For real. For real.
Yeah, about Moutier, man. You know, you said you rather see Trey Burke, but I think I don't want to count out Moutier, man.
And I don't want to count him out neither. But
I think he's an untapped talent.
But if you're looking I wouldn't mind Moutier. You know, it's hard right now. Yeah, you could be a big team, but. To me, it's already been proven. Trey Burke is just reproving himself, but he's already proven a commodity. He's already a proven commodity. He's ran Utah better than Moutier ran Denver. And that's fact.
Right. Yeah, that's true as far as between comparing the two players.
You know?
Yeah, that's a disappointing season.
Now,
but
to me,
it's tough with Trey, man, and it's hard. You know, I like him, but it's tough to see him as. I don't know if he's a long term answer at point guard. I think on a championship team, he's most likely a backup. You know, we saw he had his moments in Washington, and. He had his moments when he came up for us last season, but I don't know, man. I just for some reason I have a feeling about Moutier that, you know, I like what I've seen from him in the past. He hasn't been the greatest finisher, but as far as I think he has something about him in him. Something about him that I could see him, you know, leading the team. But I want to say I wouldn't put him as a, you know, future championship point guard, but I don't know. I think there's redemption on the horizon for him too.
Could be.
I don't know, man. I think it's something to watch out for. Moutier, Frank, Tim Hardaway, Courtney Lee will still be here. There'll be a lot of, you know, training camp battles, the starting spots. And like you said, we've been saying that it's a good thing that it's not, no position is a given. Everything has to be earned. You know?
Definitely. Definitely. Definitely.
There's still vets in the mix, too. You know what I mean? You still got Thomas on the bench. I know you're not a big fan of Lance Thomas.
No, I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm not, but who knows? Who knows what it is? Who knows? It's like, I expected more out of him. And I just don't think that he can. I just don't think that he can give us all that.
Nah, Lance is what he is. You know what you're gonna get from Lance. You know, nothing more, nothing less. You know, so the roster is kind of in the air, man. It's gonna be, you know, what I try to get out of this before that we name between. Adonia, Wiley, Moody, and Burke is like, they all got something to prove, man. You know what I mean? Everybody's, you know, all of them are on 1-year contracts or 5-year contracts. And some may say it might cause, you know, friction as far as everybody trying to get theirs, but it could also, you know, be a positive in that all of them are probably hungry and camaraderie comes in and team, you know, growing closer together. I think, you know, some players and I think the coaches are trying to push out to them that, you know, once we, you know, if they all win, everybody gets noticed. You know what I mean? Everybody will get taken care of. You know, so hopefully that's what comes out of this group. You know what I mean? Group of players that will cast off from other teams.
We just got to hope right now that, not hope. I think it's more than hope. I think it's a science that went into that. Whereas sometimes that's what it takes. Because to me, it's not really that they're expendables. It's that they're underdeveloped. These cats are the underdeveloped. Because a lot of times it takes you 2, 3, 4 years to get your role down as far as what you can do in the game.
Right.
Think about this, right? Think about this. For the longest time, Steve Novak was a bench rider.
Right.
You get to the right situation, somebody used you the right way, then bam, he's coming down and he's wet. It's just understanding and knowing your role. And once you have that and you know your role and you're in the right team setting, and most importantly, you have a coach that believes in you.
Right.
My man.
That's what I'm saying, too, with players like Bradley. I don't want to categorize him as specialist, but he knows his strengths, you know what I mean, as far as rebounding. And I think it'll take, you know, Fizdale do what he does and push him to be even better at what he does, you know what I mean? And I think that goes to say with the rest of the players, too. You know what I mean? Everybody find their niche. You know, fit in where you fit in, do, and be great at it.
Right.
You know, that's what I think, you know, most teams are made of. The stars and their role players who are doing what they do.
I mean, that's what makes the game the game, man. It's like when you're dealing with the NBA, it's not the same where it's like ready cooked food. Nah, everything becomes a slow process, and once that happens, it's like people are looking at the talent and realizing that, yo, I have to develop it. And once the talent is developed, then you can start to really do things. You can reach new heights that you didn't think were possible. And, you know, the term one man's trash is another man's treasure. That's the case in basketball. That's the case. You know?
Yeah. I think you're right about that as far as the development, because I think they're all untapped. You know, they all were, you know, lottery pick for a reason. You know, has only went fifth right after KP. And they were saying they hope Orlando was hoping KP dropped to them. You know, so there's a reason why these players were picked inside. Jay Burke number 9, Moody number 7. You know, so
this is what I'm saying. But you have to how a player gets to be the type of player that he is depends on a lot about talent, man. Talent and situation. And sometimes some players are just not in the right situation. You know, like
You take a player like Tracy McGrady. Tracy McGrady doesn't become Tracy McGrady if he's stuck in the same comfort zone. Being under Vince, you're not going to become the Tracy McGrady who ends up being a Hall of Famer. You wasn't a Hall of Famer in Toronto.
Yeah. Question for you, Iso.
What's up?
Similar to what we talked about when I mentioned the Bridgewater situation.
Right.
You know, Burn is great birth. You know, if he's having a great season, will you say he's averaging, say, 17 points,
mm-hmm.
6 assists, our record is 25-25.
Right.
Come like February at
right.
the trade deadline. Do you trade him? Thought that, yo, I might not be able to sign this guy.
Who, Trey Burke?
Yeah. And try to get some assets or.
I don't think that we let him go. I don't think we let him go because for the simple fact of this is the sort of place where you take the discount because of the opportunity that was given to you. You got to remember, sometimes dudes are loyal to a franchise that gave them the chance.
Some are. Like, look at the situation. It's partially comparable, but look at Jeremy Lin. You know what I mean? Jeremy Lin wasn't loyal. He tried to hold the Knicks hostage. You know what I mean?
The thing about it was he thought that he was gonna that the Knicks would have paid anything. And the thing about it was his move was based on the fact of that we were going to do what we needed to do to keep him,
mm-hmm.
right? Because of the markability factor, we was going to do what we had to do to keep him. But knowing that, you use that language to your advantage, and told Houston to up the ante so that New York would pay this amount, not knowing that when you're dealing with Dolan, he got spies everywhere. So he found out what you was trying to do. I was like, yo, you disloyal, you know what I'm saying? You're disloyal. And at the end of the day, yeah, you're a good player, but it's the guarding that makes you a star, B. That's what we do. That's what New York can do for you.
He was all right. He was just on the biggest stage at the right time.
Now, he was fire, B.
He was all right, man.
Now, he was all right. You don't give Black Mamba 30, B. He was giving dudes numbers, and he was riding an emotional high. This isn't The Lakers player who was, you know, who got drafted late and was given buckets. This wasn't that. You know what I'm saying?
No.
This is, I'm going to go play John Wall in John Wall's crib. Yeah, John Wall was talking all this and that, and I go and serve John Wall. I go to Toronto and go up there and hit game winners. I come back and give Black Mamba and them 38. Not 15, 16, 38, B.
He was a flash in the pan, man. What happened after he left New York? Nothing to talk about.
You know what that is?
Nothing to talk about, man. I believe that's what he would have been like if he stayed here, man.
But it all depends on, like I said, that's a perfect example of a situation that allowing you to shine.
Right.
So when you have a coach that's gonna play to your strength, then that's what happens.
But to me, that's all. To me, that's all it was. I think it was just at that point. It was just a show. I don't see it. I didn't see it being something of quality and substance for years to come. I don't think that would have lasted, man. And you know, for what he did after he left New York, I think that showed. It was just a flash in the pan. It's 15 minutes of fame, man. We've seen that before, man. You know, players do some, you know, some things, get a big contract, and that's it for them. That's it for them. But I think that's something to look out for when it comes to it. Not only Trey Burke, Moutier also. You know what I mean? If they turn out to be, you know, put up numbers like, you know, their draft status, you know, where they put them at, you know, a solid starting point guard numbers.
Right.
What do you do, man?
You do what's best for the team. But at the end of the day, you got to remember that this isn't like second half of the season. Trade deadline is February before
that's
the All Star break.
That's what
it puts a tremendous amount of pressure on teams to keep players. Really does.
What I'm alluding to is that, you know, we have Kyrie on the horizon and other free agents on the horizon.
Right, but it's not a guarantee. It's not a guarantee that we get Kyrie though. If Trey Burke and him is putting up numbers, you just can't say, all right, we're going to get rid of him and this and that because we're going to get Kyrie. You know what I'm saying?
No,
now, if we know that we're getting Kyrie, then yeah. But at the end of the day, we don't know. So if they're putting up the numbers, best thing to do is to keep them and then see what we can work out next year. You know what I'm saying?
But that's also unknown. Do you ride into free agency with them too and then take your chances on them? Like, what if they don't sign back with you?
But it's hard.
You know what I mean? That's all. What if they demand big numbers? Because that was the situation the Jets were thinking about with Teddy Bridgewater. Oh, if he starts and puts up big numbers, you know, come the off season, we're not going to be able to sign this guy. You know what I mean? So that's what I'm thinking about. If these dudes, Trey Burke and Moutier, you know, put up starting point guard numbers, and there's a big improvement in their game. I don't know, man. I think that's a tough call. That's a tough call.
I mean,
well, I think it's a good problem to have, though. So hopefully, one of them or both of them do break out. You know, it's only more of an asset to the Knicks. Anything else on your mind, ISO?
I think, like, I just can't wait for the season to come, B. For real, for real. Like, you know. Opening up with the possibilities of what might happen, and I'm just waiting and anticipating start of season. You know, we start out on the road, hard ass trip. You know, but it is what it is. We're young. And we have to play a style of basketball that's going to only be attractive, but, you know, appealing to the masses. You know, if we're playing hard and we're in every game, but we're just inexperienced and losing, I can deal with that. I can't deal with what was last year, because. You know, you can't start two guards. You can't start two guards undersized at the small forward in the two guard position. It just leaves us too much in a hole. You know, And that just puts so much added stress defensively to Porzingis. So, you know, when you think about it, like, all right, we understand that he's not. He's a sidekick alpha, you know. I don't really think necessarily that he's a Z alpha, but I think he's like a sidekick alpha, more like Kobe when he was number 8 as opposed to Kobe 24. But you got to figure that all the pressure that he had to put on himself to defend the basket, because Courtney Lee, who could play great defense, but he's undersized, and then undersized Tim Hardaway, who doesn't play great defense. That's the kind of pressure that, you know what I'm saying, that Porzingis doesn't need, man, for real. So it's good. It's a good situation that, you know, we can develop something, and then he comes in towards the end of the year, plays sparring minutes, and then, you know, develop, get his stuff going by like February, March. That's all I could ask for. That's all I could ask for real.
Yeah, I so.
For real. And, you know, if we're going to, I don't believe in, you know, tanking the season away, that's no good. But if we barely miss the playoffs, I wouldn't mind that neither. And then being able to get maybe a spectacular pick and, you know, using that along with, I just want us to be good again, man. I just want us to be good again.
I think that you spoke for all of Knicks Nation, man. For real, man. It's gonna come to, you know, you're gonna see the product on the floor soon, man. And we all eager to see these new Knicks players on the floor. You know, our rookies, our vets, our expendables, as we call them. Soon, man, soon. NBA season about to start. You're about to see our Knicks, man. Basketball Jones, that fever is back, man. I think you helped knock out my cold tonight, man.
Hey.
I feel it running, man.
I would want to knock out that fan.
Word, man. So I feel like going to the park right now, like how we used to do them late night runs. You know? Late night full court. Yeah, that basketball fever is coming back for us, man. You know, not only with the Knicks, but the whole entire NBA. To be seen, must see TV, man.
For real.
Good to have you back on the couch, ISO.
Always good to be on the couch, Doc, you know?
Yeah, you helped me pay my bills, man.
Well, you need to go see the doctor and get your damn cold fixed, Doc.
Well, yeah, I'm my own doctor. But, yeah, man, another week. Thanks to all the listeners out there. Check us out on social media, Instagram, Facebook, Knicks Therapy. Check out the iTest NBA show on Monday. Check out past episodes from both shows on 7sitemedia.com. We're also on SoundCloud and also on iTunes podcast. Look for us by searching 7sitemedia.com. 7sitemedia. NBA show on Monday. They got a good one coming up with Cleveland LeBron versus Miami LeBron.
Yes, sir.
Monday's past episode was real good, too. We had
Curry versus Man.
Yeah. Yeah, go check that out on 7sitemedia.com. This is Dr. Big Al signing off.
And this is ISO.
On Nick's Therapy. Peace.
Peace.